And welcome to today's lecture entitled The Rise of the Gig Economy. I'd like to start today's lecture with the concept that traditional work of 9 to 5 with a single employer is changing. Millions of people are now working self-employed as freelancers and temporary workers in an environment known as the gig economy. This terminology may be new to you, but I'm sure you're aware of a number of companies that are under this type of economy, such as Deliveroo, Uber, Hermes, TaskRabbit, Airbnb, People Per Hour, and even eBay. So in today's lecture, I shall start with the definition of the gig economy and discuss some of the companies connected to this economy, and finally summarise the future of working contracts. Right, let's begin with a definition. Defining the gig economy is incredibly difficult because of how diverse the market is, with sharing, servicing, and collaborating sectors. The gig economy is an environment in which temporary positions are common, and organisations employ independent workers for short-term or on-demand contracts or engagements. The term gig refers to a stint of work, but can also refer to those that sell goods or rent assets. Gig workers are self-employed, which means they're not eligible for sick, holiday, or pension benefits and have less workers' rights than traditional jobs. Contracts are short-term and payment is by task, assignment, or sales, usually utilised through digital platforms or networks. So, we'll look at three different gig economies to gain an understanding of working contracts through this new entity. Firstly, we'll look at Airbnb. Airbnb is an online marketplace and homestay network, enabling people to list and rent short-term lodging in residential properties. It has over 2 million listings in 34,000 cities in 191 countries. Users are categorised as hosts and guests, both of whom must be registered with Airbnb using a variety of means such as email, telephone, and a government-issued ID. The owner, the host, sets a price for the room, house, or property and creates a profile that includes descriptions, amenities, rules, reviews, social connections, etc. The guest puts in a reservation request and the host must reply within 24 hours. Airbnb receives a percentage from both the guest, usually 6 to 9%, and the host, 3%, in conjunction to every booking. Airbnb has had a profound economic effect on three types of gig earners. The first are casual hosts who rent rooms out for extra income. The second is wealthier homeowners who are now using the reliable service to rent out their holiday homes. And finally, are the financially challenged workers who need more money to help meet living costs. However, there are a number of issues with the Airbnb model. Gig earners are not declaring taxable amounts to the tax authorities. Housing associations are claiming that it is pushing up rents, as people can make more money through Airbnb. And finally, some countries are introducing legislation to control the market and the competition against hotels. Canada is presently creating a bill to apply the same rules and taxes as hotels, and Berlin will only allow rooms and not property. Okay, the next company is Uber. This is an American worldwide online transportation network company based in 66 countries and 545 cities worldwide. Basically, it's a smartphone app which allows consumers to submit a trip request, and the Uber software alerts the nearest Uber driver to the location. Uber automatically calculates the fare and sends the payment to the driver, and the customer is billed through their credit card. Uber takes a service fee of 20% for every fare. Many people think that you just jump in your car, register with Uber, and then you can work. But it has a number of technicalities to contend with before you begin. Uber drivers in the UK need a PHV, private hire vehicle license, from the local council, which costs £90 upwards and can take 6 weeks. The council will also inspect your car, and the initial test costs £250, and then every 6 months thereafter for £80 a time. Uber demands that cars are no older than 10 years. Then you need business car insurance with £1 million of public liability cover. So that can be £1,500 plus per year. Overall, the whole startup process can cost in the region of £2,000. Once drivers begin working, they can earn on average £15 an hour, with some London Uber drivers, earning double or triple this amount. However, the popularity of Uber being cheaper and more convenient than traditional taxis has not been welcomed by traditional taxi companies. The legality of Uber is being challenged in the courts, based on the premise that Uber drivers are not paying taxes or licensing fees associated with taxi companies, and the drivers are untrained. Many countries have taken more serious action by banning Uber completely, such as China, Belgium, Brazil, Denmark, Spain, France, and Germany. If this wasn't enough, in October 2016, the UK Uber drivers won a controversial legal battle against Uber over workers' rights, and the tribunal ruled that Uber has wrongly classified their drivers as self-employed, when in fact they are workers and should be entitled to the minimum wage and holiday pay. This ruling will have serious implications across all gig economy platforms. So, our final gig economy is TaskRabbit. This is an online marketplace that matches freelance labour with local demand. Mainly situated in the US and the UK, the platform provides a whole range of services from cleaning, delivery, gardening, shopping, personal assistant to almost anything like paying someone to queue for tickets or waiting on hold on a phone. Taskers go through a background checking service with TaskRabbit that checks criminal records, qualifications, and references. Then they can advertise their services through the platform with pictures, jobs completed, and reviews. Customers post jobs, and TaskRabbit pairs up taskers, or customers can choose a profile. TaskRabbit takes 20% stake of the cost of each job. They also take 7.5% trust and support fee that TaskRabbit claims to facilitate a broad range of user support and operational matters. Moving on to the negatives. Like any platform that is based on trust and recommendation, One negative review can seriously damage a tasker's reputation and thus create unemployment. Competition is high for these low-skilled jobs, so this drives down wages, with only 10% of taskers earning a full-time wage. Recently, workers have complained about the platform's algorithm, which means that they have to respond to ads in 30 minutes or lose the task. Today, I have discussed and defined the gig economy and also explored three gig economy platforms. Is the gig economy here to stay? Well, yes, it seems to be the next evolution of the labour market, offering opportunities in a number of sharing, servicing and collaborating areas. Gig workers range from highly qualified freelancers to casual workers, down to those that are financially insecure and now have greater freedom on hours and days works. However, as I have discussed today, there are a number of issues of legality connected to certain economies. There's the prevalent and growing question of defining gig workers as self-employed or employed by the gig economy, and whether they should be entitled to pension, holiday, and sick pay. And finally, are some platforms increasing the availability of workers, so consequentially driving down wages? Overall, the gig economy is increasing productivity, boosting consumption, and creating avenues of employment, which is all necessary for the UK's prosperity and economic growth. Thank you.